I'm hanging out with a varsity friend of mine, Ndogozo Mbonani. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. This podcast has been long time.
Listen. Finally, it's happening. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for making time.
Thank
you for making time. Pela umuntu o busy. Bende ngani? We know you're recording not this weekend, babes. I've got plans. Hey.
To be honest, that applies to you too as well.
What do you mean?
You've also like been having plans and being booked and busy. So I think it goes in both ways.
I mean, that's what happens when you're an influencer. And also, it's just, you know, I need to make money. I need an extra source of income. I need to secure the bag by all means necessary. The black tax is sitting on my neck.
I know, right?
So I need to sit on its neck.
Sure.
Yeah. How have things been with you? You've moved to a new place. Unimali. Yes. Ching, ching.
Wait. Let's stop right now, Mali.
Oh, okay.
There's no money. I'm still broke.
Is that what moving out of... So people who generally don't have money move to new places in better areas.
I mean, no, this just happened to be a good deal in a better area, you know?
Substitute.
And also, I mean, I've always stayed away from home, so I've kind of learned how to manage. I mean, the last time I stayed home was... From second year.
Always stayed.
I've always just been kipitaring and like.
Hey.
Strutmate basically.
Why? If anything, on the contrary, I've been one to stay away from home, mm-hmm. and then I went back home. But mm-hmm. I think we did the opposite. Why? What was the decision?
Listen, you know, like firstly, bangani. You know, that's the problem. My friends are too dope. I mean, they stayed at Res. Mm-hmm. And we were all from Diploof, but they stayed at Res.
Okay.
And imagine, remember you're thinking you give me takes every day three.
Yeah,
kata. And also, like, waiting for those fucking taxis. So exhausting.
Yo,
I'm not sure what's exhausting, having to be on campus all day, juggling work, or standing in that queue.
I see.
So it was just exhausting. The traffic in the morning was just terrible. Yeah. So it just got to a point where I was like, you know what, actually, fuck this, I can't do this anymore. Nasfizi, you know.
Kawenza, love.
Nasfizi did the things, got my stipend, so
yeah.
It worked out really, really well.
Okay.
Yeah, so independence and freedom is just something I've gotten used to, rather.
At what point, are you at any point considering, like, living with your family?
No, unless like something hectic happens.
Okay.
Where I have to stay with my family. Uh-huh. At this point, there's no need, you know. Everyone has somewhere to stay. So, please.
I'm done with Rachel. He's at the chat.
No, but I'm Rachel, but no one needs accommodation.
Yeah.
Like that.
Okay.
You know, if it gets to a point where now I have to take in someone because their situation is not working out, definitely. But...
If you had to take someone in, how long would you? Because we know black families, we are leech. Yeah. Our black people
I know,
leech.
Right? Listen, family is family, I guess, you know?
Mm.
So for as long as the situation persists, I have to be there. Mm. And because we're black people, it's one of those things that you can't put a time on, you can't put a clock on it. Mm. Because the ultimate question is whether or not Lomundo Mnadayo is sorted.
Mm.
You know, and for as long as they're not sorted, then your responsibility kind of persists, you know.
You know what genuinely hurts me, and getting into what we are talking about, black techs hurts me, my friend. My back is aching from black techs. And this is by no means saying that the people who have raised me don't deserve to be looked after by me, but you know, if if I was white, I really would have appreciated the fact how white people bring up their kids and the support that they give to their kids. I had to break my back to buy a car.
Yeah.
Now that I'm done paying off for the car, I have to break my back saving up for something else. And it's just like a life of constant struggling. And I feel like as black people, we are never gonna catch a break.
I think for me, the biggest problem, especially with black tax, is that, you know, I think our parents, their mind shift, like their mind placing, where their mind is at, especially with children, is that sometimes they see us as investments, you know? You know? And like, and listen, and I think me being able to send money from home should not be a thing that I have to do, right? It should be a token of appreciation. It should be something that one can do when they can. And that's where we start to feel like because now it's like an expectation. Like people think that, and this is like a very bad approach to parenting. Kuti parenting, not the ATM, you know, like you don't give birth to a child only for you to make a withdrawal in the future.
Yeah.
You know? And I do think that the conversation does become like a little more complex than that, you know? I mean, even black, even Nemali, why can't I just give it to my family? You know, that's another dynamic. With my corner, my corner, and you should be helping without being asked. And but in Kenya, most of the time, usually comes from when black family is about entitlement. And that's not fair, because then they end up playing on your guilt, you know?
That's true.
And usually, this will keep you mad, not because you want to, but because you just, it's a manifestation of your response to guilt that they put on you.
And it's in the subtle things that, like, our parents and our family members, in the subtle things that they say, like, yo, yes, in other words, you're basically asking me to buy you your wardrobe.
Low key, yeah.
And by no means am I saying that as a black child, I wouldn't reinvest in like my family or whatever, but it shouldn't, like you said, it shouldn't feel like there's a chance but you can't fix anything, you know what I mean? So yeah,
and I think that's why we end up like lying about how much you earn, because now the more you tell my mom, 10,000, you know, I mean, from where we come from, and they don't understand, Uti, as an Apple that has a degree that works in town, like, there's just so many things that come in the way, and your life does change so drastically that even your standard of living, you know,
has to change.
You just find yourself, everything might just like, say the bar has been raised somehow. And like,
it's true, yo.
And that happens just by virtue of you having 10,000. But I'm at 10,000.
That's true.
And the thing is, our families don't understand that. We'd see like, the more money you access, the more obligations that you put on yourself. And, you know, some people say save, but it's not that easy. You know, financial mobility kind of attracts obligations. And there's a lot of factors in that. There's like a long, long, long discussion about that.
And just I think you made a brief analogy of it, Uti. Now you're working in town, friend. So seven the 17.
Understand?
I get Uti Uyotenga Jet or Mr. Price. And no shade to those shops, because those are shops that we generally buy our clothes at.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna be in boardrooms with people that need to invest millions in your project, you have to look the part. You know what I mean?
You know, even if for me, I'm actually that guy that doesn't mind going to like Jet or like Mr. Price.
Because
I mean, there's a way in which you can play around.
There is a way.
But it's just like, you know, most sense in the video, much more people than you are.
Yes.
I'm a demand. I've been over there, you know. Even taking bath, like, sometimes actually does become a struggle. And I think that's another conversation. Which like young black professionals are actually struggling, you know. You look at the money that we get, you know, you would think that it's great money until you have to pay tax, you know, like that's an entire chunk of your salary. And as much as I think the one thing that we've managed to do as black graduates is that we have managed to like get better lives for ourselves, and in a consequence, and like as a consequence of that, our lives does look like a little more glamorous than that of our parents. But that is often misunderstood to be booty, yo, sign a man, which is actually not the truth. Like,
sometimes we really are faking it,
you know. And like the biggest group of people who struggle financially is like young black professionals who've just made it into the workplace, and you think that your life would be easier, but it never really gets easier. I mean, it gets easier because in the Malinyana you can now
access certain things.
You can access certain things, but overall, it's really, really never that easy.
Mm. Yeah, I know. I'm thinking about like just my personal life.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna get into that right now because you know it's hitting home.
Yeah.
But also the other thing that I wanted to say earlier was, when you're talking about children being seen as investments, you look at concepts like the concept yelobola, like umuntu azothi uzale intombazane so that inkomo zakhe zizobuyela kuye. What are you saying? You know what I mean? Why don't you use leyo mali yelobola and do the wedding with it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why does that the debt of having a wedding have to fall on your child? So,
I think also, I mean, we have like as Black people, we have such a very, very interesting relationship with money.
Do you think so?
Interesting in the sense that it's not something that we've always had.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of our relationships from even prehistoric times have been defined around what we can exchange with each other, to the point where it came to a point where money determines like your value as a person.
Mm.
And that kind of thinking like manifests itself differently, that even our children, like we see our children as assets, you know, as people that can make you have a little more money, you know, or Mtana is either, Bamsibona is someone that can either make you a little more money, or Mtana that is just going to suck you off as a leech, you know. So we tend to, because of where we come from and how we engage with money, we tend to monetize people and the money that they bring to us, you know.
But let's also talk about the notion that Mtana will suck you as a leech.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, friend. In as much as you and I, we are sitting here, we are in better positions than most of our peers. There are our peers on the other side. They are sucking off their parents.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, it's not like the parents is like, hambo funda uzongenzela 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The parents is just like, funda uzokwazukuzimela, because if I die, what's going to happen to you? You know what I mean?
Mm.
So there's also that. Yo, being black. Oh my God, I am tired.
Like, being black for me is just like so exhausting, right?
Yo, I want to take off the skin.
Because like,
Just for 6 hours.
Just for 6 hours.
Scam, I'm a daughter.
Every day, I have to put on my David mask. You know?
Show me.
I feel so relieved though. So you don't want to like be Mariki.
Do you not feel tired?
I mean, Yakataza, but corporate demands that when you're at work, you need to be palatable. You need to be nice.
But also, why does being palatable and being nice, why is it linked to whiteness? Like, I understand.
Yeah, because like because inherently when they see someone that's black, they associate all these nasty things.
Mm.
And so we constantly have to like show up, like show ourselves that I'm not that kind of black, which is a bad thing, you know?
You do that, to be honest.
Listen, and not to say I'm not that kind of black, but I think what I'm trying to get to is that you're a nice black, you know, like you don't steal, you know, you are not ghetto. You need to show that you can engage with them, that you can make sure that they're comfortable. Because as soon as you're not all those things, once you start being ratch dog, think about it. Hamo interview, ube ratch, you're not gonna get the job. Once you start showing any elements of being ghetto, like they start
you can start on Monday. I can't keep you afro. Sparama weave. Yo, it's a big black is tiring.
It's out of necessity, to be quite honest. Because if as a black person you don't do all of those things, then unfortunately no one's gonna want to be associated with you. Because ultimately corporate people determine the standard and the kind of behavior that is acceptable in their spaces.
That's true.
Because ultimately it is their space.
And corporate people,
corporate is like abelung, you know? So because it's their space, you often have to assimilate.
Okay, that's another chat. This is another chat actually that I've had with Crisp on an episode called Many Shades of Black. Going back to black tax is killing me. Black tax is hurting my back. Are you resentful towards your family, your parents, the people that raised you? Do you harbor any resentment towards
like generally?
As a general thing, yes.
I think there's... Things like it's hard to for me to be angry, right? So my black experience is like twofold. One, it's been such a beautiful thing because it's taught me how to be like very, very resilient, you know? And the way I've learned how to be resilient may be toxic, you know, because it's underpinned by struggle, you know, like struggle makes you resilient. Struggling sucks, but look, and like where I am right now, I've learned how to be resilient. You know? It's taught me how to be a strong person, how to, I mean, I didn't have to ask my parents for money. Like my family, I never asked any money from them since I moved out of home, type of thing. Because I knew that I had to get a job. I knew that I had to generate money for myself, even at university. I mean, and they did help me here and there with textbooks and stuff and stuff. But like generally, like my well-being is something that I always took care of. So there's that one part.
Yeah,
it's just that resilience, which is great, but it's underpinned by shittiness, right? But the second part of it is just like this, like being black is so hard, like the intersectionality of, there's so many issues. One, you're dealing with like lack of communication or the ability to communicate in black families. You're dealing with like very different classes within black families. You are dealing with patriarchy. You are dealing with the rich aunt. You're dealing with the black sheep uncle. So there's so many
dynamics
that one has to engage with. And ultimately for me, like no one has like, and things, I've always been experiencing all of these things all at the same time. And I've never been able to express them. Even when shit goes down, it's just for me, it's always just been something that I experienced that I've never been able to articulate. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why I did struggle along the way, because you go through shit, but you can't even articulate it. The only thing you know, you just know how you experience it, you know? And I think of the like the very shitty things that I've had to encounter because of this intersectionality. And thing is, who am I mad at also, you know? Because for example, if I'm mad at my uncle, who's like the alcoholic and the druggy,
who has his own struggles.
And his
own problems. Isn't there Zimlayo? Because I don't for one believe that someone growing up would aspire towards becoming nothing.
So imagine, so if everyone in the black family is dealing with those complexities, like me, being a little more fortunate, I don't know where to place my anger. Should I be angry at those people who themselves are incapable of understanding their struggles and articulating them? So like,
but who is
being resentful? You know, like, I mean, being resentful. I mean, I can be resentful because those things were shitty and probably shouldn't have experienced them. But when you step back, you realize that actually, like, our parents had their own struggles that they went through that they don't understand. So, I mean, so I find it hard to be resentful. I think the only thing that I can do now is just to look back and try to find meaning for myself and what those experiences mean. And also think about how I can be better and not fall into the same trap that they fell into. You know, so I mean, I don't know. Like, I know that I'm giving a very 360 answer, but I'm just, I don't know where, I don't know if I should, I'm even allowed to be resentful. I don't know where to place my anger, who to place it on, because it's just such a complex web of issues that collides all at the same time.
And in not knowing where to place your anger, we can't necessarily be angry at our mothers, because this whole notion that umntana kumele akhule afunde enze kanje and then come back and take care of me is a notion that was also on them, because they at some point, you know what I mean? So for them it's just the cycle is continuing, but we are coming and we're saying, but hold on, this is messed up because we've got white counterparts. Singena nabo sihambena bemavets singena imoto siyabona ngama MG C16 tonton, you know what I mean? And you're just like, yo, but this is not fair.
It's really not fair. And thing is like, and the hard thing is, it's so hard to, for example, the little money that we earn, firstly, you're trying to build your life. Firstly, right? And you have to catch up with someone that already has a car. When it's money that you're supposed to be paying rent from. Insurance, installment.
Exactly.
The works, you know. So it's kind of hard to, like, as a black, young black person to because the one thing that we want is like social mobility. We want to get better, but it's kind of hard to move forward when you still have to, you know, keep it in your mind.
Bigger move.
You know, and that's why I'm very conscious of saying bigger move, I vibe, because it's not, it's who you are, it's you, it's not at the back.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you want to be able to build, and you want to be, you want to have enough money, but it takes you steps backwards and it makes your progression even slower because now there's this obligation that is placed on your shoulders. And ideally, we as black people, we don't want to be there. So fine, maybe I don't want to.
Do you feel like if both your parents were still together, how your life turned out would have been different?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe it would have been better, you know. Maybe my dad would have stuck to a job, you know, knowing that there's a responsibility. Maybe my mom would have helped ground him, as problematic as that is. Like, I don't know. I hope it would be better. I mean, the thing is also, like, poverty, you know, a lot of shit can happen even if my parents were still together. So I really, really don't know. I don't know if things would be better for me. I hope they would be, you know, because naturally, usually, my nuclear families, they have a slightly better chance, have better access to credit, you know, like, and it's different from when umuntu is a single parent, you know. So I hope it would be better, but I really can't say, yeah, it would be better or no.
I don't know, because I think in different ways, I resent both my parents.
Yeah.
In very different ways.
Yeah.
And for different reasons, you know. I'm not sure if I'm ready to talk about this now. But to a degree, and... yeah, but to a degree. In any event, I don't want to get into that.
Yeah, because who?
Yeah, because who? Could you who? Because there's also resenting my parents to a degree. But there's also resenting other people who... out of their own personal choices, they decided to play a role in my life. And now that I'm grown, I feel like time and time again, bang Phyllis Wooty, yo, Saksiza, we did this for you. We showed up. And I'm just like, why did you show up for me? What if I was going to amount to quote unquote nothing? Then what were you going to say? You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm just generally quite very resentful.
Yeah.
I also just feel like there are certain people in my family that had the means to help me have a better upbringing and whatever, and they didn't do that. And I feel like time and time again, they're rearing their heads in to see if is there a chance to come back. And you know what's messed up about this whole situation? That I have to welcome them back as if, you know what I mean? Like, they're living their best life. And then when they come back, you have to be welcoming. Yeah. I don't want to welcome you back into my life. Because when I struggled, you weren't there. Sure. You know what I mean? Yeah. When I needed money for textbooks, so why are we now playing this whole game, this cat and mouse game, as if you were there all along? So I'm harboring resentment. And that's the truth. And that's a truth that I've never said out loud.
Yeah.
And I even feel good just saying that.
You girl.
Girl! I am harboring a degree of resentment. But at the same time, I just don't have that kind of time. Because I'm just so focused on, like, moving my life forward.
Yeah.
But I'm resentful. And I remember the people who didn't come through for me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to come through for them. And don't tell me about doing good to other people because I want them to do good for me. I'm not going to come through for them or their children.
There's so much shit that I should be mad about, you know.
Now that you think about it.
Now that I think about it, you know. There's a lot of shit.
There's a lot. We are angry, but we just don't have time to be angry.
No, shit like people that raised you and that will just kick you out of their home. Oh. That tell you that you're not even family.
Dude.
You know? I think how I've moved on from that and, like, just from all of that toxicity. Firstly, like, thanks to my mom because, oof, that girl works, you know?
The girl
works.
Love her.
But I think the one thing I've learned is I'm not entitled. Like, I don't wanna think that I was entitled to them helping me. They didn't have to.
Is that true?
They really didn't have to help me. And it's fine, you know. It's fine that they didn't want to help me. It's fine that they...
It hurts. That's my point. Like, you didn't have to help me, but it hurts.
I'm tired of being mad because I realize, like, we sometimes have expectations for people. People who aren't, whose intentions aren't really, really pure, you know.
That's true.
And you end up hurting yourself because of this expectation that you hold. So I'm at a point where, you know what, I'm just like, I'm not entitled to shit.
Okay.
I'm not entitled to shit. I'm not entitled to your money. I was not entitled to anything. And I think that has allowed me to be so determined to always know that ultimately the only person that you have is yourself.
Oh, okay.
You are the only person that you have. Like yourself. And Kumoto's ignite that apple. No one is trying to take out their money for you. No one gives a fuck. And once we stop feeling entitled, that puts things in perspective. It allows you to plan things for yourself independently. Mm. It allows you, it gives you some kind of foresight about tomorrow. I'm not saying that when you're not feeling entitled, like now suddenly things are gonna work out like this wonderful utopia. But it definitely does contribute into encouraging you. You're able to find encouragement from within. Like, a lot of things that you need to survive are things that come from within you, and you don't get them from, you don't have to get those things from outside, from other people. You're able to self-sustain without relying on other people, and we'll always be disappointed by people because we're always expecting them to do things for us. We're always expecting them to be there for us.
Is that,
I'm just like, fuck everyone, stop feeling entitled, don't be mad, focus on yourself, and we really, really do need to move on.
Ooh, don't be mad. You just spoke to me.
Yeah.
Phew. Closing remarks as we are done venting.
Yeah.
As we are on stretching our backs from being hurt from all this black tax.
I think, in closing, I would say the only person is yourself. Do right by yourself. Black families are very, very complicated structures.
And toxic.
Inherently toxic. I mean, it's their fault, it's not their fault, blah, 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 blah. That's another chat. But ultimately, I think as black people, as young people, we need to just do right by yourself. Go to school. Go study. Wake up in the morning. Because you're going to be so mad and as well bitter the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Because you were busy focusing on what other people were expecting of you or what other people did not do for you, but you never did anything for yourself. So in order for us to escape all that toxicity and to build lives, the lives that we really, really want, it is time that we look inside towards ourselves.
Yo, I low-key feel like you were talking to me on this episode, because in as much as I'm khalang yo kone ni and I'm not doing any of that, I just feel like the resilience thing, you know. Yes, I'm resilient, but I'm still mad, and I'm tired, but I'm also mad at the same time.
Yeah.
And it coexists in such a weird way.
Yeah.
But I'm tired.
But just reposition your exhaustion. You need to redirect it. There will be time for you to deal with all these issues. I do imagine. I'm suddenly a hot femininity.
Show me.
I want to deal with your figure.
Yeah, I could show me. Mama on one. Anyway, now.
There will come a time where we have to heal. And there will be a time where we have to communicate. And we'll get there. But until that time comes, we just need to keep working.
Keep on keeping on. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Ghetto Snob. If you want to be a guest on The Ghetto Snob, I'm actually opening this to the public. If you want to be a guest, talk to me about anything. Like I say, I am an inquisitive person. I want to know, I want to learn, even if it's about things that I don't know anything about, but you feel like it's worth having a chat, hit me up. It is theghettosnob17@gmail.com. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.